Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I am Ben Standing, and I cover the Washington football team for The Athletic. It's not often that I have the guests join me at the top, but I don't consider this guy a guest. He's part of the family and an unpaid part who's willing to keep coming on this podcast. I don't take that lightly. He is Matthew Paris with the Washington Times. We're going to talk about the Washington football team. They finished their preseason last night, and we survived. We talked to Ron Rivera today, mostly not about the game, but about what's up next with the 53-player roster due by Tuesday. So we'll get into all that here and more on the podcast. First off, though, Matthew, we survived the game. How are you feeling after living through that experience?
Yeah, you know, I've seen better football games in my days, but I think I've also seen worse ones. We're hanging in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was again, it's all relative. I'm not complaining relative to important things in life, but you know, it was something. The as they say, the bits in the press box were going fast and furious. And at one point, I thought we were in like the fourth quarter. It was like just midway through the third, so it was a lot going on. But even like Ron Rivera, I don't think really cared to talk too much about the game. He basically said, all he cared about was basically guys not getting hurt. That's why he didn't play essentially any of the starters and a couple other guys. It was a chance to see the backups, and we'll get into that because he did say a couple of interesting things about how many spots he viewed were essentially open prior to the game, and then how many he thinks were open after the game. So we'll get into that and talk a little bit more about who we have on the 53. We'll do that here on the Standing Room Only podcast, which of course you can subscribe to on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you do your podcasting. Also, you can find my work on The Athletic. My new 53 is up. Go find that right now. And I'll just mention again, the NFL agent survey, two parts, did last week, was a lot of fun as always to do that. You can go check that out on there. By the way, there is a 50% offer on the subscription code right now, limited time, yada yada. You know the deal. Go click on one of my stories to pick me, and then go click, don't pick anybody else, go pick my story, click on the story, and then get your deal. And of course, you can also follow me on Twitter at Ben Standing. Matt is at Matthew_Paris, and you go read him on the Washington Times, and he also has a podcast. I forget, what is the name of your podcast?
The District of Sports.
There you go. I'm sure it's better than he's selling. Matt's a shy guy. He's not going to pimp his stuff the way I am. So go read him and go listen to him. You can do both of those things. All right. So I guess let's get into some of this. So Ron Rivera did talk today. Like I said, I don't really think we need to discuss the game unless there's something compelling to get to, or maybe it'll come up here in this general conversation. But yeah, they didn't play any of the starters. As far as we know, they didn't really have any, well, I shouldn't say they didn't have any injuries. Torrey McTyer went out with a possible concussion and then was ruled out for the game. We'll see what that means. Obviously, a concussion could be, you know, quick return, or it could be out for some time. I have no idea, not going to speculate, but since he is one of those guys, I had him on the good side of the bubble, but at the same point, you know, if he were to be out for some extended time, that could change things. But beyond that, you know, Ron Rivera talked about a lot of different things today. One of the topics, and I'm trying to pull up the quote here. Give me a second on that. So basically, one of the things he talked about, Matt, was the idea of that how many spots were available going into the game. I guesstimated on my list the other day on the website, 8 spots, 21 people. But like 8 spots, I'm including like DeShazer Everett. You know, I'm including some guys that maybe really aren't there, but I was just like, all right, let me, you know, got to sort of go through this thought process. He said 8 players that were on that list, but then he said 2 more sprung open Four players. Yeah. Don't mind me. He said four players, four spots were open. And then he thought two more probably opened up during the game, which is, you can't feel great if you think you might have been one of those guys. What did you make of that? And like, if you had to sort of guess on sort of where you think some of those spots would be, what would your best guesses be?
Yeah, you know, I think the spot that jumps out is kind of the defensive line. Rivera has talked about for a while now wanting some of these young guys to pop. They obviously didn't bring in a veteran to replace Ryan Kerrigan after letting him walk. They drafted William Bradley King and Shaka Toney. They've each had their moments in camp, but in terms of production in the games, I don't know if it's really been there. James Smith Williams is hurt right now. Casey Tuhill's hurt. So they're just a lot of spots on the defensive line behind the stars that they have. You're talking about maybe two or three spots that are kind of still up in the air, maybe just one. But I would go there. Cornerback is another position that I think has some uncertainty, especially with McTyre's concussion. But, you know, Danny Johnson had a nice night too, it looked like. You know, he's really flying around on special teams. He's was their kick returner. Jarrett Patterson didn't get really any run there. So, yeah, I would say cornerback, defensive end, receiver, we've all talked about. But, it was an interesting night from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ones you hit are good. The defensive line is an interesting one, to say the least. I mean, it's funny to like look at the journey, you know, from the moment we knew that Ryan Kerrigan wasn't coming back. I certainly was of the opinion. It was similar last year with tight end. I kept waiting them to go out and draft one or do more than sign Logan Thomas, who at that point obviously was a completely unproven piece. Obviously, they didn't need to do more. Per se, although you could argue they could have drafted somebody at some point for the backup perspective, but it never did. It worked out with Logan Thomas. Same thing here, that we know they're moving on from Ryan Kerrigan. They have nothing but unproven pieces behind Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Martin Mayhew, as I recall, even talked somewhere around the draft or free agency that they would look to bring in a veteran, and maybe they did look, but they ultimately didn't bring any in. And the pieces they had were two second-year players in Casey Tuhill and James Smith Williams, and two rookies in Shaka Toney and William Bradley King. If you want to say Daniel Wise, who was a roster piece, who I think did some decent things, got in the mix as well, that's fine. But like everything I just said, nobody there is, you know, collectively, what did I just say? That's two or three years of NFL experience. I mean, there's not much there to work with, and not a lot of these guys did a ton in camp. Like you said, there'd be a moment or two here and there, be like, ooh, Shaka Toney's in the backfield, and I think Casey Tuhill was decent early in camp, but he's been out. I don't think he didn't play in the whole preseason with his lingering toe injury. And I don't know. And it's interesting, like when you look at the how many spots are now open question, and he said from four now to maybe six. So you ask yourself, well, what does that mean? I think you may be right to say that the defensive line was a question, because the Ravens, look, it was the Ravens starters against Washington's backups for the beginning, and then backups against backups for a lot. I mean, they got run over. I mean, they couldn't stop them at all. And we can sit here and say preseason, whatever, but ultimately, you know, you got to do something. And, the all 20, I don't have access to the all 22, so I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I studied that, but obviously there's something to be said for that. And I'm looking at what everybody on our beat is writing from these 53 player projections. The defensive line, there's definitely a lot of differences. There's also David Bada, I didn't mention. I don't think he's going to be kept because he's on the international pathway program, which means they don't have to actually do anything. They can just kind of leave him around and he doesn't count towards the 53. So there's no real reason for them to put him on the roster unless he's going to play, which, you know, that doesn't seem likely based on what they have. So put him on the side. There's a lot of different ways to go. I think you and I were saying this before. I have William Bradley King and Tuhill as my eighth and ninth. I think they like him. And even if they put him on IR Wednesday, then it means they can bring him back later in the year. And, you know, that depth is not a bad thing. And it's worth probably risking any of the other guys because, look, 2 7th round picks. And, you know, so I think that's a worthy risk to take. I don't know if I'm allowed to break the news here because you're still working on your story, but you're leaning towards Shaka Toney as your eighth guy, right?
I do. I think he's just a little bit more explosive than William Bradley King. William Bradley King has had some nice deflections, and his length is pretty good. But I think Tony's speed stands out a little bit more. Two Hill's interesting, but, you know, if he's exposed to waivers and stuff, like, are teams really going to claim him if he has a toe injury? Like, maybe the injury works in Washington's favor in this case. Maybe a team kind of holds off, but and then they can add him on the practice squad. So, you know, I kind of like Tony for that spot, but who knows? I remember a few years ago, Anthony Lanier got released like right at like the 53 man was set. Anthony Lanier made it. And then like 2 days later, they cut him for Caleb Brantley because he came available. So you never know like what other moves are going to happen around the league. They're paying attention to this sort of stuff. Rivera was talking about today about how they get a list on Monday from the personnel department of all these guys who could be released. Then they talk about them and prepare for various scenarios. So, you know, I do expect the roster to change here and there on the margins a little bit. We just don't know what positions just yet.
I mean, you just mentioned Anthony Lanier and Caleb Brantley. It's a good reminder that so much of what we're talking about is relative minutia. But as people who listen to me go on Fred Katz's with the Draft of Dark podcast or have heard me talk about it here, I often talk about very niche stuff and the importance of it. And Fred makes fun of me to some degree on that podcast to the point we've made an entire bit about it. But at the same point, it's these little things that do ultimately matter. Sure, we're talking about guys at the back of the roster or on the practice squad. I mean, Cam Sims was one of those guys, and you know, he was a starting receiver for them in the playoffs last year, and he's of you know, guy who Rivera kept out of the game last night as a sign that he's going to be around, a valued piece. That's a long way to go, but with that's how this worked up. You went from the practice squad, you know, to that spot, and you know, I mean, even just like a guy like Kyle Allen, it didn't happen here, but he was right undrafted. He's started a bunch of games in the NFL. That you have the pieces on the margins. It isn't just the individual pieces; it's the process that you have to find the pieces, and that's why these things are important. Even if, as a reminder, Anthony Lanier was like, "Oh, he's interesting too." Okay, it never actually happened. You just keep working it until you figure it out. I'm not going to sit here and say, Matt, you're wrong. It's going to be William Bradley King over Shaka Tony. You know, maybe it's what's the opposite of recency bias? Old bias. Because it felt like William Bradley King for me early on kind of popped. And then you're right. Maybe it, you know, I don't know. It doesn't feel like we've been thinking about him as much. I mean, Daniel Wise is somebody that actually was noticing more down the stretch of practices. And David Bada is the one who had a sack last night. Also, Bunma Ratini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he also had a sack. I'm not imagining that he makes the roster, but I could imagine maybe the practice squad. He, you know, the point is like, I don't know. Ultimately, this is the game here is what players do you think you will lose on waivers? What positions are most important to you? Where do you need depth and so on? And that's the thing, like, as much as we might say, wow, all these young players look good. You know, we're talking about a bunch of seventh round picks or two seventh round picks in this case. And Casey Tuhill was a guy they picked up off waivers last year. So I don't think the world's going to end it one way or the other, depending on what they do. But some sense of Tuhill might be back relatively soon. We'll see. Injuries have been burned. We've all been burned before on guessing these things. So we'll see how that goes. I went with nine defensive linemen. And doing so, I basically left out a 10th offensive lineman. I've long said that I would keep David Sharp as my 10th offensive lineman just because the tackle position is so important. You know, there is the extra game in the season this year. They traded for him last year. He ended up starting at least one game last year. So, but he missed a lot of time with COVID. He's out with the COVID protocol this year. I don't know, whatever, he was on the list. So that's kind of taken him off the radar a bit for me. It wouldn't stun me at all, though, if he sticks instead of either that 9th defensive lineman or a 7th receiver that both of us, I think we're going to have. We quibble on the 7th, but I think we're both going to have. Like, that could absolutely happen, and that's the one move that will keep me up at night if I get that one wrong. But, you know, it is what it is. What was your, like, I think you're still somewhat formulating your final thing, but just as you've been thinking about it, like, what is there one thing that you're kind of still Wang, and if you want, I'll let you ponder that. Just to say, on my last one, the switch I made was I took out Peyton Barber and Shaka Toney and put in Casey Tuhill and Troy Apke. I hear the applause and the Apke thing. I get it. But I mean, Rivera's talked about his special teams play. He had a good play in special teams last night. I just think that's the thing. It, you know, yes, he bombed as a safety. That's not what we're talking about. That version of Troy Apke is not here anymore. We're just focusing on this other thing, and he can play special teams and some secondary if need be. So that was my sort of end decision. What about for you?
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I keep going back and forth on the receivers thing. I mean, like last week I did a article about guys on the bubble predicting whether they were in and out, and I had Dax Milne off, but I think he's going to make it as the seventh receiver now. You know, here it's pretty rare for Washington historically to keep seven receivers. I couldn't tell you the last time they did that off the top of my head. But I looked around earlier today to see, all right, how many teams last year kept seven receivers, and it was eight of them. That's like a quarter of the league. So I think that's becoming more and more important as teams value receivers. Ben, we were talking off air about just how many good receivers are in the league now and teams wanting to protect their guys. And I think the reason to keep Dax would be for punt returning purposes. I think he would be the punt returner. One of the unfortunate things about last night's game is they were so bad that the punt returning unit didn't really get a chance to return punts. Like, you know, they only fielded two punts. One went out of bounds. Another was fair caught. And Dax was ahead of DeAndre Carter there. So now DeAndre Carter, kind of like the same thing you're talking about with William Bradley King, right? Like, started pretty strong, faded off toward the end here. And he's just not really a part of the offense either anymore. And it feels like, you know, you want that punt returner thing, but Milne can, you know, catches from the slot, and he's a little bit more versatile, I think, than Carter, but he's worth the upside, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a great comparison to the same thing. I mean, listeners here will recall, I mean, my take early in camp was, this is simple. Keep none of them. If none of them, don't keep seven receivers. It's you don't need all that. It's too much at that position, as Matt pointed out. Even if it maybe more teams did that last year, he might have thought it's still not. The vast majority didn't do that. It's not necessarily good asset allocation. And so then just whichever one clears waivers, put them on the practice squad. The first 2 weeks, you get the free move up from the practice squad. Pick one of them to be the punt returner by week three, when you have to either release the player or have the player clear waivers or put them on the 53. Somebody will have gotten hurt by then, or you'll decide that somebody can go and you can do that. That would be the easy way to do. For me, that would mean probably keeping David Sharp done. But that's, you know, that's one of those things I say out loud, and some actual executive is like, could be like, are you serious? What do you, we got tinfoil hat on? Like, what's going on? I think it makes sense, but anyway, so I didn't do that. I went with the seventh guy. Also, I guess it's worth noting, I mean, Curtis Samuel's still hurt, right? I mean, we can keep saying he'll be back any minute. Well, actually, we're not saying it. That's what they've been saying to us. Yeah. We'll see. There is still 2 weeks to go before the season starts, so there's time, but, you know, it is confusing. So I went with DeAndre Carter primarily because, one, the early bias, now that we're, I can come with a better term than that, the initial bias.
What have you done for me before, Lee?
Yeah. So is that. And with Dax Milne, I think he's been really interesting. He had a really nice catch last night. I think he's been pretty interesting. And I can imagine that they might say, hey, you know, he's potentially our new slot guy next year when Adam Humphrey's contract is up. But all that said, you know, he was the penultimate pick in the draft. Logically, they should be able to clear him through waivers. There's so many receivers in this league now that are interesting. I think most teams have a guy like Dax Milne. I would think he would clear waivers, but you know, it is part of the debate. For sure. Here's something else Rivera said today. By the way, I'm failing as being an entertaining or a good podcast host, in the sense that if I've yet to invoke the names Jared Patterson or Samus Reyes, if we're going to have a debate over the 53, like these are names you just have to throw out there like chum. Jared Patterson, I've long said, is going to make the team. I mean, he was a little bit shaky last night with the dropped a couple passes. And maybe that changes their mind about what to do with Peyton Barber. I'm assuming, well, I shouldn't say changes their mind. Maybe I don't know what their mind is, but I took Barber off mine. I went with the three backs. Maybe they say, hey, we like Patterson, but you know, if we really have to use him, how much can we trust him? Maybe they decide they got to go Barber. But in any event, Reyes, I think, is still more interesting for some people. I have him on, but you know, I think for others, it's maybe a little more questionable. I think he's on pretty decently, but what do you think?
Can we have this is your podcast, so I don't mean to hijack, but can we have the Peyton Barber conversation real fast?
Go for it.
So the logic goes, not picking at you, just in general for keeping him off. The logic goes, all right, week two, they give Gibson the 4th-and-1. Gibson doesn't make it. Barber's on. And then next week, Barber only 12 carries or 12 yards on 4 carries. Then he's off. 3 yards per carry is what he averaged last year. That's actually slightly better. I mean, I get that there's the Patterson equivalent here, but isn't it just like Peyton Barber is kind of who he is? He just is a short yard guy. You need him to get a yard, he'll get you a yard. And if you need him to get you a 3 or 4, he'll get you a yard or two. Like, if it, you know, that old cliche. It's just, I don't know. I could see him. It's not necessarily worth keeping him around. It's just more so like the, all right, do you need a short yardage guy or not? Because if you don't think Antonio Gibson can do it, then it doesn't really matter whether Peyton Barber struggled last night or not. I mean, that's just kind of who he is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the fact that they gave Gibson the short yardage snaps in week two said to me they really would like to get rid of Peyton Barber, because that's the whole point of that role. His role would be that thing. I mean, yes, he helps in some special teams and can catch a pass, but essentially he would be around for that. So if they're giving Gibson those snaps, they're trying to figure out how to move away. Now, granted, Gibson didn't really succeed in that spot. Therefore, maybe that's a reason to keep Barber. And I wouldn't say that Jared Patterson at 5'7" is a candidate to be the short yardage guy either. And neither would be JD McKissick. So, you know, you're kind of limited, but I guess I would just be like, look, I gotta have to, you know, trust that Gibson can work it out. And again, it's not even so much Barber per se. It's like, what else do you need? Ultimately, you're right though. It's sort of a what do they call little kids who have blankets, blankies? What are they?
I don't know. I'm young, but not that young.
Well, I don't know. Whatever. We'll get Pete Haley on the phone and ask him. I don't know. Just kidding. Whatever, you know, security blanket around. Like, it would be like that. Ron Rivera decides, I can't sleep at night if I don't have the 3rd-and-1 guy on the roster, and they keep him. But other than that, I just think that there's better ways to use to maximize the roster. You know, I think that Peyton Barber, I don't know that there's like some massive clamoring for him. If he's made available, you may be able to put him on the practice squad. I'm not positive, to be honest, if he has to clear waivers, because he's been around the league for 5 years. May not have to. He may just be a free agent, but we'll see. And also, like, Jonathan Williams is around, you know, for what we're talking about. I don't know that guy couldn't get the job done. So in any event, it won't stun me if he's on, but I put him off. Just to go back to the Samus Reyes kind of thing. So Ron Rivera also said today, he was asked about, you know, how nervous he is about losing practice squad players to other teams, and, you know, putting a guy through waivers and then, you know, whatever. And he said, you know, look, he kind of explained a little bit that, like, look, we don't just take a guess. We talk to other teams. Other teams call us looking into players. We even said we read social media, which I guess that means like the equivalent of like reading us, right? You know, what are the people who are paying attention to this team? What are they speculating and so on? I will just say that, like, so Rivera in that conversation says that, quote, we've had, he said, okay, the scuttlebutt that you hear about people inquiring about people on your roster, you've had one player in particular, you've had a couple of teams that just basically reached out to some people that we know, and they said, hey, look, that they've asked about your guy, they want to know if he's going to make your 53, so that's helpful, and so on. You know, I can't speak to who he's talking about, but I can say, and I've reported this on here, and I wrote about it the other day, like, I've heard that from that some teams are, you know, Samus Reyes is somebody they're keeping an eye on. And I think that's the thing. Sometimes I think the conversation about Samus Reyes is false because it's too much of the focus is on how is he going to help this year. He is not a 2021 player. That's not really the point. The point is long haul. What does he do for you? Do you think he can develop into something? And if you do, a guy who has never played football before until a few months ago, that's what you're looking at. And I think he's shown enough to think that there's reason to keep him around. Plus, there's not that much else happening. And like I said, I don't think he has a chance of getting through waivers. I mean, what do I know? But I would say he probably doesn't have much of a chance. Some bottom feeder team will say, sure, we'll take a shot. And again, a team could sign him and then throw him on. Who knows? He, you know, gets a hanging nail. He goes on IR, you know, like whatever. So I think he stays, one, because I think there's some intrigue there locally. And two, I don't think he's got any chance of getting through waivers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it kind of reminds me of a few situations. Like, you look at Julius Thomas, the former tight end in Denver. He took a couple of years to develop before he really hit his stride, and he was awesome for that Broncos team in 2013. And then Maui Ali-Cox, the VCU product for the Colts, he took another few years to develop. Both obviously were college basketball players. But the other guy here is kind of also reminds me of is Donald Parham, who was here for a hot second in training camp 2 years ago, and now he's with the Chargers. And, you know, they lost Hunter Henry in the offseason, and now Parham, if things break right, maybe he could be the Chargers' number one tight end, and he seems like he's developed quite nicely. He has size like Reyes does. And so, you know, who knows if the ceiling is as high for Reyes as those guys I mentioned, but it is worth keeping him around to see if you can develop him. Because another thing with this offense too is, you know, they talk about wanting to be multiple and run all these different formations and sets, but Scott Turner loves in some 11 personnel, and that's just keeping one tight end, and it's going to be very Logan Thomas heavy. And so, you know, you drafted John Bates. I just don't think, like, I think Ricky Seals-Jones is a nice player. He's had some nice moments in camp, but no, I think it's worth trying to see what Reyes turns into rather than just keeping Seals-Jones around or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Seals-Jones is a guy that, like, if you need help, could do something, but, like, I'm not going to lose sleep. No disrespect to a guy with a fun last name. I'm not going to lose sleep if put him on waivers and he doesn't make it through. It would be a bit of a risk to have two rookie tight ends, one who has zero experience behind a starting tight end who is not really a tight end historically. That's not a lot going on at that position. And for what it's worth, you know, part of my issue with Peyton Barber is if Antonio Gibson were to go out, I mean, it's not like Peyton Barber can just fill in on the early downs and they would have a problem there. They really have a problem if Logan Thomas goes out. I mean, that's a big time problem. So, but whatever, you can't fix all these problems. So, yeah. In any event, I think Samus Reyes is in. I already mentioned Patterson is in, but we'll see. So, a reminder: so Tuesday, 4 o'clock, the roster has to be down to 53. There will be a press conference out at Washington that day. Rivera, and so on, telling us what's going on. But we'll have a sense before all that happens anyway. Before we get out of here, let's just go back to some big picture, because we just talked about a bunch of fringy stuff. Everybody we just talked about, for the most part, maybe doesn't have any real impact on this season this year. The season is about Chase Young and Daron Payne, and about Landon Collins, and about Terry McLaurin and Gibson, and of course what happens at quarterback and in all that. And you know, we've just gone through a month of training camp after going, after seeing OTAs and all that. And it can get a little mind numbing after a while. The you know, you see a lot of repetitive stuff and, you know, you start getting focused on a lot of the minutia, the day-to-day stuff. And then you kind of pull back and like, oh yeah, there's actually a season about to happen. And the question somebody's going to ask me effectively is, what do you think is going to happen? So I guess I was thinking, well, maybe we should just sort of discuss that really quick, with one question being, what is something that you've changed your opinion on since the start of camp? When I told Matt we were going to ask this before we started, and we both were like, oh, I have no idea. I still don't. I'm going to let you go first because I still need to think about this, unless I'm being rude to you. But I figure you're smart. You're a little sharper than me. Do you have a thought as to something? Could be a player, could be the team, whatever it is, something that you've changed your mind on since camp started?
It's player, but also, like, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I was pretty high on the signing, and I think he's still, you know, I don't think he's going to be terrible or anything like that. I just think he'll raise the offense's ceiling to average. You know, I would be really surprised if, even if we're going in by DVOA standards, like if this is a top, if they're within the top 15 or anything like that. You know, we talk about all these weapons they brought in, and is Terry McLaurin taking another jump? Logan Thomas, is he going to be a number one tight end? Like all these things that we kind of talk about. I still think, you know, there's the Fitz magic and then there's the Fitz tragic. And we've seen some moments in camp. It's not just the games where you go, oh my God, like what was that? I mean, we've seen a lot of bad quarterback play here over the past 3 years. And I think it's a noticeable upgrade from that. I'm not trying to lump Fitzpatrick in with some of the other guys who have been here, but I just think, you know, average offense, above average defense again, and where that pans out, I think, you know, maybe the same record. I think they can still compete for the NFC East, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I mean, I was optimistic on Fitzpatrick like you, just for no other reason that, wow, he should be better than what they had, and that's still feels like the case. But watching it in practice play out and then a little bit in the games, yeah, I mean, you can see why he has not always been given a starting job. And obviously we've talked a lot about this nonsense about there was going to be a quarterback competition, told you guys from the moment day one that was never a real thing, and it played out to be never a real thing. The irony is, if it had been a real thing, if Taylor Heinicke had actually put forth together a decent camp, I don't know what would have happened. It's not to say Fitzpatrick was terrible, it's just to say he wasn't like so good that like it would be inconceivable. And plus, because you know already the ups and downs are coming, that maybe, you know, having something a little more stable or something with more upside, whatever you want to look at, would have been interesting. It didn't happen. And Fitzpatrick will be the starter. Obviously, could you imagine like reporting that he was a starter as if that was like news? It's ridiculous. Anyway, so there's that. Okay, now you did the one. I have to do one. I still don't even know what I'm going to say while I'm here. I guess I'll just say this. I'll lean into this. You know, I'm sure at some point during the offseason, I wrote, well, there's no real reason to bring Troy Apke back. You know, bombed at safety. It's just not going to work out here. You know, I get the special teams thing, it's not going to work out. But then they moved into cornerback, and, you know, I'm not suggesting he's been Darryl Green or anything. But he's been okay. And you see the Matt shaking his head like, yeah, define okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I guess I just mean he's sore can walk and chew gum, kind of okay. But more specifically, it's, you know, I've used this before. You got to stop viewing him as the fourth round pick who bombed at safety and start viewing him as a special teams guy, like a Jared Norris or a Jordan Kanasik or whomever you want to your special teams guy is, and just say, this is why he is here. DeShazer Everett, you know, that type of guy. That's why he's here. And I do think over time, watching him day in and day out in practice, I just think that he's probably put himself, I think he's very close. I put him on the roster. I really like Danny Johnson. It wouldn't surprise me if Torrey McTyre were to be out, if they felt for a while. It could be Darrell Roberts, because he's more of the conventional cornerback of that group. If they decide we need to get somebody else, that could be a thing. And by the way, for what it's worth, I've said before, like Jimmy Moreland is safe as far as I can see. but he did play last night. He wasn't ruled out by as one of the safe guys. And I don't know what his role feels like. It's a bit diminished because of with Kendall Fuller looking more like he's going to play more in the slot with the Buffalo nickel thing with Cam Curl there and so on. So we'll see about that. But, you know, I'll give Troy Apke credit in the sense, or I'll give everybody involved credit for the Troy Apke thing in that it would have been easy for that just to be reactionary and say, nah, he's got to go. He's out. They said, okay, what do we have? This is sort of the thing with the Steven Montez, Taysom Hill thing that never quite happened, though Steven Montez did play some special teams throughout camp because they were, it's the same thing. Like, you have this thing, we don't know what to do with it. In conventional terms, he's not going to make this team. What do we have here? What can we do to maximize the situation? With Apke, there is the special teams component. I think that I think some team might pick him up in that for that reason. So this is not nearly, it's not that as interesting as you picking the quarterback, but I just think it was sort of a symbolic, I don't know what I'm saying, of the idea of like looking at your pieces, what do we have? How do we maximize the situation? Let's react and just say, throw him out because he was bad at this one thing. We like some of the stuff he can do. What do we do to make it better? So that's what I'm going with that one.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of just boils down to if you need Troy Apke to actually play cornerback in a game, you're kind of screwed to begin with. And so, you know, just keep him around for the special teams things. Like, Rivera referred to him as an ace, and he said that those are very hard to find, and he's dead on the money. I think we really want to go into the weeds here. What's interesting is the other gunner besides Apke is Danny Johnson. So I don't know who would fill that spot.
And that's why, this is just me, pure speculation, not reporting, nothing. But like, that's why the Jimmy Moreland thing is so interesting. If you thought Torrey McTyer, who had played really well, Matt Paris's scouting led to this, you've got William Jackson, who's been banged up in camp. You've got Benjamin St. Juice. You got Kendall Fuller. You have McTyer. If you think that Apke and Danny Johnson are worth keeping, or maybe Darrell Roberts, either the first two guys for special teams or Roberts for playing corner, but you can't keep them all, could you trade Moreland for something? Maybe there's something to be said for that. Again, not to go back to another tangent, but like the point of last year, the thing I wrote about Ryan Anderson trading him was because what played out. He was here. He didn't play. They let him go for nothing. So, this is called vision. You look ahead and you think to yourself, okay, what do I do to maximize this piece? I mean, obviously, I'm not saying they could have traded him for even a seventh ultimately, because they didn't do it. They thought they could keep him. But sort of the same principle here. If you think we have this piece that has some value, but it's not going to be as valuable for us at any position, but just I'm using more as an example, and we have these other things we kind of like, I don't know. Is it worth trading a guy? Teams around this league need cornerbacks. The New Orleans Saints among them. Could you trade Jimmy Moreland for somebody, get something back, and then keep two guys that you are also like? I'm just not saying that they will do that. I'm saying that's the type of thing that, like, for this very niche stuff that I care about, this is the stuff that matters. This is how you maximize what you have and you incrementally build up your team. Last question for Matt Paris. I'm sure we'll probably maybe even talk before the season starts, but in case we don't, the season is in 2 weeks. We'll assume that they don't have any other injuries and the roster, there's no major roster surprises and so on. Has your outlook of this team going into the year changed at all since, I guess, you know, basically since camp, or if not changed at all, like, what is your outlook at this point? If somebody says, Matt Paris, what's going to happen this year? What do you tell them?
Yeah, you know, kind of going back to what I said before about average offense, above average defense, I think there's going to be some regression just because repeating as an elite defense every year is very hard. They face better quarterbacks, but man, I love this defense. It's really good in certain spots. The defensive line, just how it is with their stars, is really good. I think the safeties are a real bright spot right now, and I don't know if I've said that. I've been on the beat 4 years.
You definitely have not said that unless it was being sarcastic.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually think there's some really good safety play here. I kind of like the cornerbacks. I like the versatility with Kendall Fuller in the slot and St. Juice and William Jackson on the outside. So, you know, I think that unit is going to be really good again. And so, yeah, you know, I think I was of the opinion like a couple months ago that the Cowboys, this is their division to lose and stuff like that. But, you know, I think with Dak Prescott's injury, who knows what's going on there? I kind of think, kind of like Washington's chances to repeat or be right in it to the end to repeat. You know, I'm not discounting. I think I was maybe less high on Washington a few months ago than I am now. But
yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things working against Washington. You mentioned just sort of the idea of repeating. Yeah, they were 7-9, but obviously they finished strong and they have the harder schedule accordingly. And that harder schedule means all these really good teams they got to play and all these really good quarterbacks. I mean, just go all, look at their schedule through the Tampa Bay game. And was that week 10, 11? It is insane. The quarterbacks they have to face. And by the time they get to division, the bulk of the division games late in the year, they could have a terrible record and yet still be in it because of the fact that they have their last five games against the division opponents. It's sort of ironic. I feel like if the defense lives up to the hype and is a top five defense and will keep you in games, you ironically would want some sort of a game manager. I mean, assuming you didn't have one of the top quarterbacks, it would almost be better to have sort of that game manager to not screw it up, you know, to be able to effectively move the ball, but like not turn the ball over a lot, i.e. an Alex Smith. Instead, they have the literal opposite in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And ultimately, I think on some level, it's going to come down to not just what he does, but how do they try to, you know, offset the tendencies he's going to have to throw the ball over the place. You know, that comes through play calling or what have you. It's going to be interesting to see for sure. So we'll see how that goes. I would honestly say at this point, I'm still where I was before. You could tell me 9-8. You could tell me 8-9. I don't know. We'll just have to see. It's been a weird off season in that sense. Like, I just don't feel like the needle has moved a lot for better or for worse, but once the games get real, we'll have a better feel for that. By the way, we didn't mention Dustin Hopkins, Matt just gave me a look like, really? Who cares?
No, just a shrug. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. I am surprised they didn't bring in somebody at some point, but even if for no other reason, like Ron Ray, he kicked the 50. What was the first kick he missed?
55.
And Rivera said that he was told that was a few yards past his range. In this day and age, if you're a field goal kicker and 50 something is a few yards past your range, it feels like, forget the missing. It just feels like you might want something who's got more leg, but in any event, yeah. No other kicker. Dustin Hopkins, it's his job for now. All right. Anything else, Matt, before you need to get off your chest? Anything else to discuss? Anything?
No. No. Thanks for having me as always. It's a blast.
All right. Go follow Matt on Twitter at Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S. Read him at the Washington Times. Again, go read me at The Athletic. We've got a deal, 50% off the subscription. Rako, click on. Whatever, we've got a new 53, my agent survey, whatever you got, and then go in that way. But that is it for now. More podcasts to come. I'll have one up Tuesday night after Washington is down to 53 players. I've got a couple good guests already in the can that I'll play those interviews when we get going here. So excited for that. But that's it for now. Until next time, see ya.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.